I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. John chapter 13. And as you're turning there to the Gospel of John chapter 13, I want to share with you a story. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to go to graduate school that for pastors. It's called seminary. It was at Andrews University. Pastor Jim Reinking and I were going to school at the same time, graduate school, seminary, and as you know, I didn't know him personally, but my, we've had grown a real friendship as a result of our having the meetings together. But we were there. Who knows, maybe that particular Sabbath that I was there at Pioneer Memorial Church, he might have been there, I don't know. But it was communion Sabbath, and we were asked to separate, and the ladies went to rooms, and the men went to other rooms, and I picked a certain room, and I was kind of near the door, so I could kind of see outside the door what was happening, and I saw a little boy, and he was running up and down, looking through all the doors, looking, and I later discovered he was looking for his daddy. Where is my daddy? I have lost my daddy. Where is my daddy? Finally, he comes to our room, the room where I was, and his daddy and that little boy, their eyes set on each other. It was such a beautiful thing to see. And once that happened, that little boy was just at peace. I found my daddy. And then suddenly, he looked at what was happening. He looked down and he saw these men washing one another's feet. And naturally from his, who's going to wash my feet? Who's going to wash my feet? As you've turned in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and the 13th chapter, I want to read, as you would follow with me, verses 1 through 12. This great event that happened on Thursday, 31 AD, in the upper room, starting with verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, you are going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? I believe that Jesus is asking that same question this very moment today. Do you understand what Jesus did that night? Do you understand? Before Jesus died and went to the cross of Calvary and died for you and me, he instituted what we as Christians call the ordinance of foot washing. And many of our Christian brothers and sisters of other faiths have no knowledge and understanding of the ordinance of foot washing, other than the fact that it's a historical event that actually happened. and they respect it, but they don't take part in it. In fact, of all Protestants, Christians, Seventh-day Adventists as a denomination are the only ones that practice this service. What does it mean? What are we happening here? Thursday night, 31 AD, Jesus in the upper room. Who else was there with Jesus? His disciples, his 12 disciples. And on that Thursday evening, everyone's feet was washed except one. Whose feet were not washed? Jesus' feet was not washed. And at first we might ask, well, maybe it was because they didn't wash his feet because they were so stunned as to what he was doing that they neglected to wash his feet. Is that why? Why is it that Jesus' feet were not washed? Now, when we understand the meaning of the ordinance of foot washing, we will understand why Jesus' feet were not washed that Thursday night, 31 AD. You see, the ordinance of foot washing is more than a service where people come together and they wash clean feet. Figure that one out. An empty ritual, as it were. That's what it looks like on the surface. In fact, that's what that little boy who finally found his daddy thought. What were they doing? Well, somebody wash my feet? If we gather together in separate rooms and we wash each other's feet just to kind of go through the motions, then we are practicing an empty form and a ritual. And that is not what we want to do. We've come to church, and each time we come to church, we come in our best because we're coming before the Lord, and we want to be open with Him. And this is a day that's different from any day of the week. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. The ordinance of foot washing is not just the washing of feet that are already clean. But maybe someone says, well, wait a minute. Jesus, he originated and instituted the service, and he had dirty feet, didn't he? Didn't Jesus have dirty feet? He had dirty feet, and the 12 disciples had dirty feet. His feet needed to be washed physically just as much as all the other 12 needed to be washed physically. You get the point here? No matter how we consider it, it's more than just the washing of clean feet or dirty feet. It's much more than that. Even Jesus clearly implied this. You have your Bibles open? Stay open to John chapter 13. Notice verse 7, what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And then take a look also at verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" And we stand back like the little boy. Well, I know what they're doing. They're washing clean feet. Anybody wash my feet too? It just looks like that on the surface, doesn't it? Washing feet, whether they're clean or they're dirty. Well, this brings us back to the question here. Why were the 12 disciples' feet washed, but Jesus' feet were not washed? You see, Jesus' feet were not washed that night because he was without sin. Jesus was the sinless one, amen? His feet were not washed that evening because he did not need spiritual cleansing. He was without sin. But the reason why the disciples needed their feet to be washed, because they were still sinners. And even though they were followers of Jesus Christ, they were still sinners. Can you relate, my friends, as we come to the Lord's Supper today, as we come to this communion service today? There's a lot of meaning. Try to enter into this experience. As you study the Bible devotionally, put yourself in that person's place. You. Me, we are the disciples of Jesus. That Thursday night, 31 AD, we are there, and Jesus is washing our feet. He kneels down before us, and he takes our feet into his hands, and he washes our feet. Please understand, in the washing of the feet, friends, of the disciples' feet, Jesus is washing our feet. And that's us being cleansed, not just from dirt, no, but from our sins. From our sins. Just think of it. To place our feet in the basin of Jesus is to place the filthiest part of our lives into his hands. You know, in ancient East, and even to this day, among many, they walk with sandals or they have no shoes at all, and their feet are dirty, caked with mud and dirt. And a servant, it is a practice, a servant of the feast, servant of the house, washes the feet. That is their job. There was no servant there that night. Jesus Christ, acting in the form of a servant, he washed, assuming the role of a servant. He did more than act a part of a servant and wash dirty feet, much more. So here's the key. Here's the key. The difference between what Jesus really is washing is this. If we're willing to let him. If we're willing to let him. The disciples who were willing to let Jesus wash their feet, willing, they received a cleansing. All of them except for one received a spiritual cleansing. The other only received a physical cleansing. Is that correct? Yes. Jesus said these words in John chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. Notice what he said here. Jesus said to him, Peter, "He who is bathed needs only to wash the feet, but is completely cleansed. And you are clean, but not all of you." Then verse 11. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You are not all clean." Who is he referring to? He's referring to Judas, isn't he? Judas. He had his feet washed. They were clean physically, but not spiritually. Now, to add more meaning to Jesus' act here, on that Thursday night, as he washed the disciples' feet, he said this in this story. This is what he said, verses 13 through 15. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, so I am." Is he your teacher? Is he your Lord? "So when he had washed their feet, taking his garments," and let me go down to verse 14. He goes on and says this, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." An example. Can you imagine the invitation that Jesus is giving to you and me today in the 21st century, the year 2009? It is still open. Jesus is inviting us to wash each other's feet. Jesus is inviting us to get down on our knees and to get down and to represent Jesus. To represent Jesus. Not to be Jesus, but to represent Jesus Christ. As we wash that lady or that gentleman or our wife or our husband's feet. To enter into the true meaning of this service, friends, is not just to wash clean feet. It is not just to wash dirty feet. But to enter into this service, friends, as we wash one another's feet, by faith, we are looking to Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness by faith. And we are asking him to clean their lives. Because he alone, you are not the Holy Spirit. I am not the Holy Spirit. He, Jesus Christ, does the cleansing. And we are claiming his righteousness. And we are asking that he will cleanse that person. Amen. By faith. So what is it? What is our testimony today? As we come to this service, it is this. Jesus, I am not without sin, as you are. I am a sinner in need of your cleansing. I come to this service today confessing that I am dirty, and you alone are my cleanser. You alone are my righteousness by faith. Amen? Amen. What will it be for you and for me as we take part in this awesome, awesome service? Will it be as our feet are washed? Will they be cleaned physically? And that is all? Or will you and I, as we come to this service today, acknowledge that we are spiritually dirty, and by faith, we say to Jesus, wash my feet, Jesus. Wash my feet, Jesus. You know, the ordinance of foot washing that is we take part in happens once a quarter. As Seventh-day Adventists, we don't do it every week. Like some of our Protestant friends, they have the Lord's Supper once a week. But as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we have the Lord's Supper, we have the ordinance of foot washing, and the Lord's Supper once a quarter. And the ordinance of foot washing, you may not think of it this way, but I want to encourage you to think of it this way. It is, as it were, a miniature baptism. A miniature baptism. Most of us here today have been baptized. But we have sinned. We have fallen short of God's ideal since we were baptized. And we acknowledge that we need cleansing. We acknowledge that we always need Jesus Christ. And so in a few moments, we are going to experience a miniature baptism. Praise the Lord. A new start, a clean slate, a perfect record in Christ, who is our righteousness by faith. Not our record, but His, we claim. Amen? But not only today are we going to take part in this beautiful service of the ordinance foot washing and the Lord's Supper, but we're going to have a baptism. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. This is something we are making history. We have not done this before. As Carolyn Dalton and Lynn Ziegler will be baptized by immersion, as they begin anew, as they become a part of our family, a new member of the family, baptized in Christ, baptized into the body of Christ, His church, baptized and anointed in service for Jesus. That is the desire in their heart. And that's what baptism is all about. I want to invite you to listen as Philip and Katie have our special music and we prepare for this service.